Well, welcome to my daily teaching video. It is great to have you here with me. In a moment, I'm going to jump into the last week of my teaching from this book I wrote last year, actually, called The Promise, all about the promises of God. And today, I'm going to speak about three keys to obtaining promises. You are called not simply to stand on the promises of God. You're called to live in a promised land, the land of promises. And I'm going to talk about how to obtain the promises of God in your life each and every day. Going to be wild and great. Hey, before we do that, a couple of housekeeping things. As usual, if you are new to my ministry, my name is Graham Jones, born in the UK, lived in France for 20 years. I am now a missionary to New England, from Old England to New England, and I lead a group of churches here in New England, love Jesus, travel preaching the message of the gospel, which is the message of faith, and helping people live in and live out the spirit-filled life. So it's good to have you here. Lots of things going on in my ministry. Encourage you to check out our email newsletter below. We will send a free gift. In fact, this month we're giving people a free copy of this book when you sign up for that email newsletter. So it'd be great to have you as part of that. And secondly, real quick, I want to say a big thank you to everybody who is a partner of my ministry. Partners are those who pray for us and who support us at any level. We have some people who send $1 a month, and we love those, and some a lot more, but who help us in our call and our mission to get the gospel out to the nations. I really have it on my heart at the moment to put these videos every day in front of people, particularly young men, in the Middle East, in Muslim nations. So, you know, for every $10 you give a month, we can put these videos in front of thousands of people who wouldn't otherwise hear the gospel. So pray about that. You don't have to, but you do have to pray about it now. It would be great to have you as part of that group. Details below if you're interested. So let's talk about promises. The Bible says we should not be lazy. And there are many areas in life concerning which we could be lazy. Don't be lazy, you know, in your diet, your exercise, your relationships, your giving, you know. But the Bible says, don't be lazy, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit promises. Now, there's something about inheriting, or the Bible literally uses the word obtaining promises, that we are called to. And we're called to be those who obtain promises. You know, I said this in an earlier video, and I'd never really kind of crystallized the thought before, and yet it's so true for me, and this could be a fault in my life, this could be a bug and not a feature, I like to say, but whenever I come across a new ministry, somebody gives me a book or says, hey, Graham, you should go and hear this person speak, or, you know, watch these videos on YouTube, whatever that might be. If I'm really honest, I don't always say that, you know, at the level of being socially rude, but the question I always have is why? Time is short. My time is short. Focus and attention is short. I look at time as a greater resource than money, in a way. I can give you money and earn some more. If I give you an hour, I can't get it back. I can't reclaim it. And it's a really important thing to me. My criteria for evaluating somebody with some kind of teaching, especially in the body of Christ, is what have you done with this teaching? What have you proved with this teaching? What have you built? What have you conquered? How has this worked in your life and in the lives of others? Show me the proof of it before you want me to take a step of faith and give you the greatest resource of my time. I want to follow those who obtain promises. If you will, just listen to this. I collected a whole bunch of verses. Hebrews 6:12, don't become sluggish. Imitate those who through faith and patience obtain the promises. Hebrews 6:15, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hebrews 6:8, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, which was established on better promises. Obtained and promises. Hebrews 9:15, for those who are called may obtain the promise of eternal inheritance. Hebrews 10:36. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may obtain the promise. Hebrews 11:13. All these died in faith, not having yet obtain the promises. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms and obtained promises. Hebrews 11:39, and these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not obtain the promise. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, by which have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises which we have obtained. I can go on, guys. Galatians 3:14, that we might obtain the promise of the Spirit through faith. God is really interested in you and I obtaining the promise. And I want to give you three keys which will really help you on that journey today. Number one, identify the promise which correlates, which concerns, which fits your situation. God's promises contain promises for every circumstance and every situation, but it's like you've got to find the right key to the right lock. I always remember as a kid reading with my dad the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. A wonderful book, classical Christian book, written obviously from jail, from prison, where Bunyan was for the sake of the gospel. And I can't remember most of the story now, but there's a time I think Christian, the hero, the protagonist, if you will, is traveling on his way to the celestial city, and he's traveling with a companion. I can't remember the guy's name right now, but and they get thrown in this dungeon, and I think if memory serves, it was called the Dungeon of Despair. Can you imagine? You're sitting in this dungeon and they're sitting there moping and, you know, not complaining, but oh, woe is me. We're going to have a terrible, we might die here in the dungeon. And if memory serves me right, and I think it does, it's like his companion suddenly goes, duh, I have a key. I've been given a key which will fit every lock in this dungeon. Can you imagine you've been spent the whole night in a dungeon and suddenly your companion, your compatriot says, oh, like, boy, I forgot. I have a key which will open every single lock. And of course, the key is called the key of faith. And come on, the key of faith will unlock every single closed door you have in front of you. So often, I think in the evangelical world, a door is closed in front of us. And Christians go through all of the same boring and biblical excuses. It's not God's will to go through the door. God didn't sovereignly want us to go through the door. It's not God's timing to go through the door. Well, that's a really big one. It's amazing how you don't see that in the Bible. And so often a door is closed in front of us because we haven't found the key. And I want it, so often we pray, and when we pray, it's like our need is crying out to God. Well, what could be wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with your need crying out to God. What's wrong is when you then don't move into faith and obtain the promises. And I believe one of the keys to prayer is finding the answer in God's word before you ever pray, before you ever start. Start with the answer. All of the great prayers in the Bible were prayers where people prayed the promises of God rather than prayed the problem. Selah. Boom. Key number two I want to give you today is believe the promise is for you personally. I showed this in a video last week, and my whole life was changed when I realized the Bible is God speaking to me. Do you remember when the Lord came down in Babylon when Belshazzar's feast, and they're having this big feast and thinking how great they are, and I think it's Belshazzar who goes and gets the goblets and the tablets and the articles that were stolen from the temple, and he desecrates them or whatever, and then suddenly a hand starts writing on the wall. Meeny, meeny, tickle. It's like your number's up, your day's up, buddy. Can I tell you, that was God speaking to the king, to Belshazzar. This is God speaking to me. This is not a general book for the Christian life. About half an hour ago, I was setting up a piece of tech in my office. And I don't know what you're like with tech. You know, I open it and there's 10 different boxes and wires and camera adjustments, different things like that. And of course, there's a user manual in 17 different languages. Now, I probably do what most of you do these days, I hope you do, is I go straight to YouTube. And I want to watch a 3 to 4 minute video of somebody actually doing. I want to see the part. Oh, I can see the part in the video. Oh, yeah, that's that part there. And my point is, a lot of people treat the Bible like a manual, the operating instruction to the Christian life. Like, God's given us a book. Can you figure this out? No, this is God speaking to you personally. It is not enough to believe like in just general theological truth. You've actually got to get to the place where you realize the Bible is God speaking to you, that you can take these promises, that He's the Lord, your Savior. It's one thing to believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's another to believe He is your Savior. Boom. Third key, in we're going to finish with this today, is act on your belief until manifestation arrives. You know, belief is something which dwells in the heart. Romans 10 verse 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And yet belief that stays in the heart never usually comes to fruition, to manifestation. Belief starts in the heart, but it's always got to end up in the head, in the mouth, and then in the feet. My point is, we act upon the Word of God. I remember there's a church my parents used to go to nearby where they lived, in a place called Holyhead. It's about 20 years ago now, and it's like a, you know, a wonderful Elam Pentecostal Church, like a really old-fashioned Welsh chapel, you know, place. And I remember being there about 20 years ago, and there was one of the old-timers who was nearly 100 in the church. And for some reason, I think I'd been preaching there, and I'd mentioned Smith Wigglesworth. Excuse me. And this man came to me at the end, and he says, Smith Wigglesworth came and preached in this church. And I was just amazed. Wow, I got to preach in the same church that Smith Wigglesworth preached in. And I took this guy aside at the end and I said, did you take any notes? Tell me what he said. Wigglesworth stood where I've stood this morning and preached. What did he say? And the guy sort of scratched his head and said it was really good, but he only said two things. And I sort of had my notepad and pen out. I said, well, what were the two things? And he said, Smith Wigglesworth said, he strode around the stage saying, only believe. Only believe, only believe, doubt not, only believe. And then he said Wigglesworth shifted, and he said, faith is a hact. Now, he was from Yorkshire. People from Yorkshire in England put H's where there are none, and they take them away where they are there, so it's just a cultural accent. But faith is a hact. What he was saying is, faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith isn't standing there saying, I believe the promises of God. Faith is acting upon the promises of God. Faith is when you do something. Moses comes to the Red Sea. He looks behind him and the armies of Egypt are pursuing him. Looks in front of him and there's a body of water that cannot be crossed. Looks around him and there's 2 to 3 million lost puppies called the children of Israel kind of thing. And he's like, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord says to him, why are you crying to me? In effect, why are you praying? The Lord says to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses says, an old stick. And the Lord says, you raise your stick and I will part the Red Sea. You act on my word. And I have learned that when you act upon the word of God, you activate the word of God. When you act as if the Bible is true, God will act as if the Bible is true. Selah. Guys, thanks for watching. I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to talk about how to extract, remove, and live free from doubt in your own heart. I believe it'll be a really powerful lesson. Again, encourage you to grab a copy of this book, The Promise. Amazon will get you a copy tomorrow, or you can get a free copy when you sign up for our email newsletter. And bless you. Have a wonderful day and walk in faith and walk with the Lord. Bye for now.